This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Backpacking Podcast. As always, John Kelly here with Jeremiah Stringer, back now for a couple weeks from Europe. Have you finally adjusted? Has your jet lag gone away?
I'm getting reacclimated, man. I have been, I started getting sick as we were leaving Spain. Then we had all that travel. Now I went and played basketball. And then I started to recover. Then I went and played basketball again yesterday. And I was like, man, my head feels a little foggy. I better finish off these antibiotics before I start doing a whole lot of other rigorous activity.
Yeah, so. Man. Last week, it was fun hearing about your trip. Just hearing about everything that you were doing over on the Camino and having Bridget on the show, which is always a joy when you have your wife on here with us.
Yeah. She's been helping me out a lot, man.
You guys. What's that?
I said she's been helping me out a lot. She's like my camera woman most of the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's awesome, man. It's just a shame you both were feeling under the weather last week.
Yeah, but that's okay. We're here. We're alive. It's hard to complain.
Oh, yeah, man. And I'm excited to chat today because I don't know what we're going to talk about.
I'll tell you this, dude. I came in to record this podcast with you and immediately had to change shirts because Bridget and I have like a deadline for a video that I need to do this week, and today was the day to record it. So I had plans of waking up at like, I don't know, 7 a.m., 8 a.m., and recording the video because it is July in Kentucky, and it is 100% humidity.
End of July in Kentucky.
Yeah, like I think the highs this week are 95 to 100. So
yeah. We're going to a baseball game Friday night in Lexington, and the high is 98.
Oh,
and you know how the humidity is around here, so the humidity is going to be at least 90%.
Dude, I went out to record this video with her, and we was like, okay, we don't have long. Okay, I got a meeting set up with John. We're going to record a podcast episode. Need to, you know, record this video. Can't do a million takes. Let's just do it. And she's going to, you know, be my camera woman, like I was saying before. So we went out. And, you know, you've been to my house. Across the street, there's some trees and stuff. So, found some shade. And, dude, I couldn't get to that shade quick enough. And we got over there. I started recording. I done, like, 5 minutes of recording. And just the front of my shirt, there was just sweat dripping down to, like, my waistline. And the whole bottom front of my shirt just started getting wet. And I was like, all right, now you just got to film, you know, like, the profile of my face. And just get the top off of me. And then we walked back after filming for whatever it was, 30 minutes to an hour. And I was like, all right, Bridget, I need to change shirts immediately. I am just absolutely drenched. So
see, I thought you needed to change your shirt because you were so excited to see me that you just immediately started breaking out in sweat because you were so excited. But I guess that's a good reason to change your shirt too.
Well, she's like, I don't know why you're sweating so much more than me. I was like, I'm working hard out here. I'm the talent. You know, I'm out here.
Are you on strike right now?
No, I'm not a writer. I'm just a performer. So, yeah, I threw on this little Chicken Tramper shirt. Shout out to Chicken Tramper. They gave me something that I used probably more than anything else on my Camino trip. They have like, I don't know if they just updated, but they had two different wallet sizes, and it's just like a little square wallet with a zipper. And they also sent me a passport holder, and I would make the passport holder just a little bit bigger because it's kind of hard to get your passport in and out. And the more your passport is like being pulled against the zipper, the worse it is for your passport because of the wear and tear.
Right. It'll start tearing it up after a while.
So I'm totally uneducated on this, and I didn't know how it worked. But I flew over to Paris, and, of course, they stamp your passport because you're in a different country. And I was like, I'm not leaving France until I leave on foot. And then, like, the second night that we're walking, I'll be out of France and into Spain. And I was like, there's not going to be Border Patrol and Customs and stuff just like in the middle of the mountains. So I'm going to be going into Spain and then I'm going to be flying out, but there's no like account from where I left France and went into another country on my passport. And so I guess, you know, where they're all part of the European Union, I guess everybody's driver's license in one country can work in the other countries that are part of the union. And then your passport, okay, like as long as you travel within the European Union, I guess it doesn't really matter, but I had to show that passport at literally, excuse me, every single hotel, hostel, albergue that I stayed at. So that little chicken tramper passport wallet, that was clutch, dude. I kept my little extra wallet in there, kept my passport in there, kept my like loose money. Everything is coins, so I kept a bunch of coins in there.
Well, and I love the fact they've resized the wallet. When they first made their wallet, it was so big for what it needed to be. I mean, it was just like you'd put your cards in there, it'd be so much extra space, it's just not being used.
Mm-hmm.
So it was bigger than it needed to be. And I remember telling them, I guess it was almost 2 years ago now, that wallet would be amazing if you brought it down a little bit in size. And apparently that's exactly what they've done. So everybody's welcome.
John, you take full credit for that.
I'm glad I could help everybody out with that.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, sorry, I keep rubbing my nose. I've got a mustache hair that somehow got turned up and it's like tickling the front of my nose. So I don't know if you've ever had one of those before. They're not fun. So you're all welcome. And I love Chicken Tramper.
Yeah,
still,
dude.
I still say the SeaTug 45 is a killer ultralight backpack.
Yeah, I like their backpacks too. And they sent me a fanny pack to take over there. And I'm not huge on the fanny packs. I said, let me do just like a solid black. That'll be inconspicuous and it doesn't yell fanny pack. And
oh, speaking of fanny packs, man, I have the best fanny pack ever.
Oh, you have it handy?
Yeah, hang on a second. I'll be right back.
All right.
You just stay there and entertain people with your stories.
All right. Well, I'll tell about my fanny pack while you're doing that. So my fanny pack, I got the black, like I said before, and it has like two little mesh pockets inside. Super clutch. Because you need like a couple little pockets to hold your miscellaneous things, whether it's a contact case or, you know, your keys or your wallet or whatever. So every day whenever I arrived at the albergue or hostel or wherever I was staying, and if you missed last week, I just did a 6-week pilgrimage across Spain. And each night I stayed in a different spot.
Yeah, Jeremiah's Catholic now.
I'm not Catholic, but I guarantee you could get converted on that trip. It's kind of the whole point, I think. But, that fanny pack, every day when I would get to the albergue or hostel or whatever, if you have, like, shared showers, meaning there's, like, it's a shower and a stall, and, you know, your stuff is just kind of out in the open. So, if you don't have it with you, like, your valuables, somebody could take it, which nothing got stolen except for my pants, which if you missed that story, you can check out last week's episode where I lost my pants. But I'd stick all my valuables and stuff in the fanny pack, and then I take that wherever I went, whether it's going to the shower or maybe I'm going to run and get some food or I got to do laundry. You had everything kind of together, everything that was super important. So if you lost the fanny pack, you had all your eggs in one basket, but at least you knew where everything was. What kind of fanny pack are you rocking with there?
Well, this fanny pack right here, with my nice JK logo on it.
It's a roll
right
down.
It's a roll down. It's from Hilltop Packs. I contacted Ben McMillan because I have been working for the past 6 months on a video idea, kind of discussing EcoPack and Ultra Fabric and all that stuff that has come out in the last couple of years that everybody's been using more of. Mm-hmm. And I said, could you make me a pack or a fanny pack out of some of that material that you've been using, that new stuff? And he goes, yeah. He goes, what do you want on it? I said, I don't care. Just put anything you want on there. He goes, okay, I can do that. So I get this fanny pack that has the logo on it. But and for people that are into SMR, you know, ASMR here stuff. Okay. But when you open it.
Oh, my gosh.
It's all Jeremiah Stringer. Like, if you're listening right now and you're not watching, Jeremiah's face is on here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 times.
That's a good looking haircut, man.
7 times. And it's Little Beard Jeremiah, the one that's on TV right now, like Little Beard Jeremiah. So yeah. So I got that. And when he sent it, it was rolled up. So I was like, okay. So it gave me some weird space thing. And then when I opened it up, your face was everywhere and I was dying laughing. It's one of the funniest. And I love it when I go out places and people like go, are you on YouTube? And I'm like, yeah. And we talk. And I said, you want to see something really funny? And then I show them the fanny pack. Great conversation starter.
Dude, you know, speaking of being on YouTube, I got recognized one time in Spain. Could not believe it. It was a guy from California, and he was also doing the Camino with his son. And we kind of leapfrogged a little bit back and forth for a few days. But Bridget and I, we had decided, you know, we've been around all of our friends for so many days straight. Let's take a day where you stay in between stages. So basically what that means is usually people kind of stay at the same destination each day and everything's kind of outlined, but you can go a little bit further or a little bit less and stay in a town before or after that end of the stage. So we did, we went like a little bit further and we thought we were staying at like this spa hostel because it said like there were hot springs. It said there was a foot bath, there was massage available. And, of course, we got there, and there's, like, 50 people that live in the town. So it's a tiny town. You know, there's one bar, no stores. And then we checked in, and we're like, so is it too late to sign up for a massage? She's like, they're not available today. I was like, okay. So where are the hot springs? Because we booked it on booking.com. And, you know, you can, like, put filters and stuff on. And she was like, hot springs, I don't understand. And, of course, the lady only speaks Spanish. So you're, you know, you're having to like translate everything. And so she was like, I don't know, you know, basically she didn't know what we were talking about. And she was like, but, you know, there's the foot bath. And so the foot bath was just like a hole in the ground with water in it and like a little fountain going in. And basically you're sticking your feet into cold water with a bunch of other blistered up backpackers. So, you know, you're sticking your feet in the blister suit. For however long.
Yeah, I was going to say blister soup. That's the best. Yeah.
So it wasn't like an hour or so later that three of our friends just randomly picked the same hostel as us, three German girls. So Bridget and I, we didn't really get our little getaway, but we did. Wait, what was the point of this story? What was I talking about?
I have no idea at all. I was just showing you a fanny pack.
Oh, there's some. Oh, yeah, about being recognized because of the YouTube.
Oh, about being recognized. There you go. Yeah.
So he was staying there as well, and he was like, "What?" He's like, "I didn't think that you were Jeremiah." He come up to me. He's like, "Jeremiah," and I was like, "Yeah, what's up, man?" You know, he's like, "Hey, if I remember correctly, his name was Brian, but this is a few weeks ago." And you know, we talked a little bit, and he's like, "I didn't see you really posting a whole lot that you're doing the Camino." And he's like, is this secret or something? I was like, nah, I think I only done one video, and it was just the stuff that I was taking. Maybe put a couple things on Instagram. Yeah, I did it all on Instagram.
Yeah.
But I was like, that is absolutely wild, man. But it was another American.
Now you're world famous. You're no longer regionally popular. You are world famous.
It was a California guy. I couldn't believe it. But it was very, very cool, man. But it's also kind of embarrassing, you know.
I always hate it. I got to be honest, like anytime I go with my buddy Josh to the Red River Gorge, it doesn't matter when we go. If he's with me, I'm getting recognized.
It's odd, isn't it?
And he makes the biggest deal out of it just because he knows how much I hate it. Seriously, it's so bad. And then like I guess it was earlier this year, like in May, he and a buddy of his and I went out and we went. I guess it was Adina Arch. We're on our way to Adina Arch, and there's a guy set up, and he's got some really cool gear. And I kind of noticed it, the gear at first. And I was like, oh, dude, that guy's got some cool gear. And so he just kind of said hi, you know, as you normally do when you're walking by. Mm-hmm. And we go down, and all of a sudden he stops and goes, hey, man, I love your videos. I'm like, and I'm just waiting for Josh. And he just turns around and goes, yeah, man, aren't his videos awesome? It just starts, I'm just like,
he and likes to aggravate me.
The worst part about it is an hour before that, he looks at his buddy and goes, don't worry, somebody's going to recognize John at some point while we're out here.
Regionally famous, bro.
Regionally popular. Yes. I am regionally popular.
You know, you're talking about your fanny pack made by Hilltop Packs.
Yeah.
And I think Ben has like the company that he's partnered with, Apex Giant. So it's like him and another guy. Yep. And I follow him on Instagram. Have you seen their backpacker hanger?
Yes.
Okay. I want to pull that up. And can we talk about if we think how effective that we think that this this new product is? And some of his, I mean, this episode is not sponsored by him or anything, but
no.
I'm curious your thoughts on this because I haven't talked to anybody about it at all. So,
okay.
I'm going to pull it up on my screen. And while I'm doing that, we'll see if you can, share it.
Oh, I got to bring it up here. There we go.
Okay. So, I don't know how applicable this is for everybody else, but, you know, personally, I have like 10 backpacks. And I know that's weird, but I think it's just because we get sent them to test out for YouTube and stuff. Have you gotten your hands on this piece of gear yet?
No, because honestly, I don't have a use for it the way I store my gear.
And how do you store your backpacks? Because, like, if you're looking at my screen, he's got some different pictures on here.
Yeah.
Of how to use them.
I don't have the closet space to do that in my house.
Yeah, it seems like it would take up a lot of space if you just hang them laterally, right?
Yeah, we live pretty modest. We have a 1,250 square foot house. So, and that's with two kids. So we don't have a lot of room, you know, for other stuff. All of mine are actually the roll tops are wrapped around like my shelves where I keep all my gear. They're wrapped around the legs up high on the shelves.
So it's kind of like that.
And that's how I'm storing them. Kind of like that, yeah. But
you just roll it up and then hang it off the
roll
side?
Up and wrap it around that, yeah. Because there's really no way for me to do what he's doing. I don't have a place where I can hang those things.
I got you.
So it's a cool idea for people that have multiple bags. Like families, you know, families would be a big one for that too because they would, you know, you'd have your bags, your family, your children, your wife.
I didn't even think about that because, you know, if you're like Devin Ashby, for example, if him, his wife, and multiple kids are all hitting the trail together, then, you know, each person's going to kind of have their own backpack.
Right.
One thing I don't understand.
So that's my plan eventually. I want my kids to all have backpacks. And,
gets a little expensive with the families.
Yeah.
I don't understand why. You seen like the hangers that have the multiple arms on them?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he do that? Why would you do individual hangers where you have to hang them laterally, like side by side? Why wouldn't you do like, you know, you just hang one on the bottom and then hang one above it and then hang one above it? Because he's printing right?
Well, it's not like shirts, though. You have to think backpacks don't lay flat. So they're just going to flare out further and further, and it's actually going to take up more space than if they hang them separately.
I think that you could do
the bottoms. They're just going to kind of lay, and then eventually you're going to have one that's almost like at a 90 degree angle just laying sideways because – They're too thick for that.
Well, let's modify it. What if you did, so you got a hanger, right? So you had his hanger and you do like, so his is like a regular hanger kind of, but it hooks up instead of like, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it for the people that are just listening, but you can go on Apex Giant and look him up if you want to, or go on our YouTube channel, the Backpacking Podcast.
I think he could get away with a double-sided.
I think that he could do like...
You could do two, like one where the straps are against each other.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So like instead of like hanging one low and then starting to stack them on top of each other, hanging above.
Uh-huh.
Because that's just going to, like I said, they're going to flare out by the top. If you had two, if you could hang two on one, that might be good.
That's what I'm
thinking.
But
it's still going to take up a lot of space. I mean, backpacks aren't thin like shirts and pants and stuff like that. So it's a little... I think it's going to be difficult to pull off.
Yeah, because the way I see it is like this is the 1800s in the U.S. Everything's building out. But then we discover skyscrapers, right? And you can build up instead of build out and take up a lot less real estate. So why don't you do multiple hangers? But the little arms, if you could push them out opposite to each other, like 10 degrees each. So like you have the two little arms going 10 degrees left. And then you go down another 5 inches, and then they go 10 degrees to the right. And then you go down 10 degrees to the left, go down 10 degrees to the right. And then maybe you could hang four backpacks all on one hanger, and then they wouldn't all be stacked up like you're saying, where one's kind of just sitting on top of the others.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you try. I wonder if Ben's already tried it and he's listening to us right now going, those guys are idiots. Like, does he not understand what R&D is? Like,
yeah, I'm just here to, throw out some ideas. Not really here to invest or invest a whole lot of time in the R&D. Just here to BS it.
Can I tell you about a piece of gear I got recently that's kind of cool?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so there's this new thing out by Flextail called the Tiny Rappel. Have you heard of this thing?
Flextail, is that the company that makes a little air up?
The little pump.
I love those, dude. Bridget brings it every trip.
Yeah, okay, so they make this thing called the Tiny Rappel. And it's probably about this big. It's about that big around. Okay, so it's maybe an inch around.
Okay.
And it's what, you've got these little discs tall? That you put into it, and it's a mosquito repellent.
Wait a second.
And you recharge it. It's a rechargeable mosquito repellent. You turn it on, and it heats up those little wafers that you put into it, and they send out a scent that keeps bugs away. And it's also a lantern. But I did find out that when you have the lantern on at the same time as the repellent,
yeah,
that repellent does no good. So
what do you mean?
It does not work.
Like, are you saying the lights?
I will say this. It works. I went last weekend to Lake Malone.
Okay.
Down near Bowling Green, Kentucky. And it's just a little state park. It's kind of a cool state park. Just went down there to camp out overnight. We did a little bit of light hiking and stuff, but it's just a campground kind of area, and they had primitive camping.
Okay.
So I hung it off of my chair. Well, the side I hung it on was the direction the wind was blowing, so it wasn't working, and I'm like, what the heck, man?
Were you getting eaten up by mosquitoes?
Yeah. So I took it and moved it on the other side where the wind was blowing towards me, and all of a sudden I had no bugs.
Oh, wow.
I mean, like that. Yeah, I was pretty impressed.
You know what this device sounds like? I think it's a basically a copy of the Thermacell. Did you ever use those Thermacells?
I've got a Thermacell.
Yeah, isn't it the same idea?
It is like less than a quarter of the size of a Thermacell.
Yeah, the Thermacell, I've used them like deer hunting before, and it has like the little wafer. Well, I guess it's technically not a wafer. You like fill it up with a liquid, and then that liquid,
and a wafer.
Okay.
For those.
The wafer's like a sponge.
The liquid's what burns. It's like the fuel that burns because it doesn't use electricity. The Thermacell doesn't.
Yeah.
We actually use one for dinner, like when we're eating out on our back patio. Our back porch. We use those for that.
So is the liquid's a fuel? It's like some kind of
It's a fuel. It's like almost like a lantern type setup.
Okay.
So it heats up a coil. Using that fuel, and that coil then heats up the wafer, which then sends out the whatever you want to call it, the scent or whatever that
the pesticide basically.
Yeah.
So how does the Flextail, does it have a coil as well that heats the wafer?
It's the same. Yeah, it warms up.
Okay, but it's battery powered that's heating the coil. Yeah. It's not the little fluid.
Yeah, and I left it running all night.
And it stayed lit the whole night.
It stayed lit till 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning.
You were in a tent?
And I had it on starting about 6 o'clock. So it went like 10 hours.
So you're sleeping in a tent?
Yes.
And did you have the doors open? Is that why you had the Thermacell on? Or was it just the lantern part?
I took one for the team. I left my screen door on the front of my tent open most of the day.
Oh, were you sharing the tent? What do you mean you took one?
No, it was just me. I just left it open so that like bugs would go in. Because I wanted to see if it would keep the bugs away.
Oh,
like if there were bugs in there, if I could keep the bugs out.
Bro, you are so dedicated to the testing of the product.
I said I would give feedback. If you're going to give feedback, you should probably do it right, you know?
Yeah,
so,
but leaving the door open.
So I left it open and a bunch of bugs got in. You know, and when I had the light on, they were just attracted to the light and they stayed. But then the moment I turned the light off and turned that thing on, the when I got up in the morning, I zipped it up after about an hour of having it on with no light on. Mm-hmm. And the next morning I got up, there were no bugs in the tent. So it repelled them all right out of the tent.
Yeah, maybe I should get one of those too. Because like Bridget, she gets eat up with mosquitoes. Like when we were going to film that video earlier, she sprayed down with bug spray. And then we got up to film it. And she was like, I don't know what's bit me, but my leg is already itching. It's itching right now. The bug spray didn't work. And the last time I was up there, I got poison ivy. So maybe we both just have bad luck. I don't know.
That's not good.
Yeah. You know, and I have this liquid that somebody had sent me that if you put it on, then it neutralizes the whatever the irritant is in poison ivy. So
the oil?
Yeah, it neutralizes that oil so you won't get like a rash from the poison ivy. But I never know I have the poison ivy until like 3 days later whenever I'm like, I think I got into some poison ivy, you know, 3 or 4 days ago.
Okay, so Flextail's coming out with another piece of gear.
Oh, man.
Are you ready for this? Because this is kind of an exclusive. I mean, not really, but it's on Indiegogo right now.
All right, hit me with it.
It is about the size of a lipstick, and it is a 1.4-ounce pump.
What? It's like a pump for your mattress?
It's just the size of like a lipstick, and it is a tiny pump, and it's 1.4 ounces.
And they sent it to you?
Not yet. I think it's on its way.
Okay. And
I'm definitely going to put that in a video, though, because that is a wild piece of gear, man.
Yeah, what's it take? Is it rechargeable? Does it take like a AA battery?
It's like their other stuff. It's rechargeable.
Okay. So there's a bunch of different companies that make these little pumps, but they're always like whatever the size your fist is, it's like 20% smaller than that is how I describe it. So they're always like a little bit bulky. You have to recharge. But usually it has like a little lantern on there. So like if Bridget and I go out.
Dual purpose.
Yeah, we can put it up in like the gear loft area of the tent and have a little night light. And then I'll tell you another thing that works well for the night light too, if you have the battery capacity, is like you just take your headlamp and then you like throw a t-shirt over it or something like that.
Yeah.
And I did that all the time whenever we were on the Camino or just like we're out in the woods and we want a little night light for the tent. But the Flextail gear, I've never been more thankful for a pump for the mattress than whenever we were in Colorado at like 12,000 feet.
Couldn't breathe.
And then at the end of the night, the last thing you want to do is take, usually it's like 9 to 11 breaths, right, to blow up your mattress pad. But the air is so thin. You know, the last thing you want to do is blow up your mattress pad. So I think there's two people whenever we were in Holy Cross Wilderness that both had the little pumps. But one of the problems I run into is one pump doesn't necessarily fit all different mattress pads. How do you get around that?
Well, they have extension little things you can put on it to fit different sizes of pads.
Oh, like an adapter that like seals around whatever style of tube your pad has.
And I'm really curious about this other one, though. 1 ounce, dude. 1.4 ounces.
Yeah, I'd like to lay eyes on that.
The other one's what, like 5 ounces, 6 ounces? Does that sound right?
I don't know how heavy it is, but every ounce counts, of course.
Yeah. So to have something that light that's a pump, that could be awesome. So I'm curious what the capacity is on it. Like, is it one of those things where you're going to pump up your mattress and then you're done? Or will it do multiple, you know, will it work multiple times? Or is it quick to recharge? Or, you know, I'm just curious because that's tiny, man.
You know, the milliamp hours on the battery capacities? You know what I'm talking about? Like, you can get
I'm going to look it up on my phone while we're sitting here.
Okay. You know, like on a battery pack that you're going to take backpacking with you or wherever, and you get like a 5,000 milliamp hour, you can get a 10,000 milliamp hour, 20,000, whatever size that you want. So I thought that it was just a direct conversion of, like, if your phone has a battery capacity of 5,000 milliamp hours and your battery pack has a 5,000 milliamp hour capacity, then that would charge your phone one time.
Yeah.
But hey, I don't
Keep talking for a second. I'm going to put you full screen on here for just a second.
Okay.
Are you down with that? Can you be full screen for a little bit?
Yeah, you're full screen. Oh, look at that. Look at that handsome face. Man, I really need a haircut. But yeah, I don't think that's right because I literally said that exactly in a YouTube video. Not verbatim, but that was the basics of like, you know, if you do the conversion, if your phone's 5,000 milliamp hour capacity and you get a 10,000 battery, like a battery pack, then that should charge your phone twice. But apparently it's a little bit more complicated than that. If I could find the comment, the guy was explaining to me, or girl, whoever was commenting, I don't remember. They were like, no, it also has to do with like the amperage or the voltage that your battery pack is putting out. So I don't think it's necessarily a one-to-one ratio on the battery capacities. So I'm curious on your, see, it's called FlexTail gear.
Check this out. I'm just going to pull this up here.
All right, go ahead.
You see that?
World's smallest pump for sleeping pads, zero.
See how small that is?
Yeah, it does. It looks like an EDC flashlight or something.
Yeah, it's crazy small. Replaceable battery. Okay, with replaceable batteries. That's interesting. But it's, I mean, it looks like it does the job. 1.4 ounces, dude.
1.4 ounces is, it's a very low luxury weight, if you ask me.
Yeah, and it says it reaches to 100 liters a minute airflow by updating whatever technology, and it will inflate, deflate sleeping pads within 50 seconds.
50 seconds?
50 seconds.
I don't know if I'm buying it. What do you think?
I mean, if it works, there's going to be a lot of people buying it. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to get my hands on one and testing it out and seeing how long the battery lasts on it. Because you know, if you put a regular battery on something, it lasts a lot longer than anything rechargeable.
Boy, you must be really getting into the tents if you're going to be trying out all this gear for tent camping.
Well, I'm going to California in September. And where I'm going, I can't use a hammock. So, kind of have to use a tent. Man, and I'll be honest, man, the Durston tent is ridiculous.
Well, tell me about it.
So, what is it called? The Durston whatever 2. Like, I'm blanking on names right now because, you know, I'm old and senile. But, dude, I love this tent. I 100% love the tent. It's massive on the inside. You need 2 trekking poles. And the way it's set up is just genius. You've got massive, massive areas outside each door.
Is it the X-Mid?
Your vestibules are just huge.
Is it the X-Mid 2?
Yeah, the X-Mid. It's the X-Mid 2 Pro.
2 Pro. Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna bring it up right now?
Yeah, I have it pulled up on my screen.
Okay.
The X-Mid Pro 2 with a hefty price tag of $679.
And I did pay for that.
Gosh. Yeah.
So that was not given to me. That I bought out of my own pocket.
But
so
it is, looks like it is Dyneema,
though. I get given all my stuff. That's not true. I bought that.
It's got 2 pads
but
in
I'm gonna
this
tell
picture.
You, let me tell you something, dude. My base weight is under 10 pounds, and I bring a chair.
Yeah, I don't know how that's possible.
Well, under 10 pounds. Witchcraft.
It looks like the
voodoo
tent.
Witchcraft, man.
A tent. I think it's about the same as the Z-Packs duplex. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because mine's around 20 ounces, I believe.
Yeah, it's maybe an ounce or two heavier than the Z-Packs.
So it's a Dyneema.
Man, you want to talk about a great tent?
Yeah.
Man, the thing is awesome on the inside. The only thing that should change is there's no, like, I wish there was a way that they had something like you could hang a lantern or something from the top. Just a little loop or something. They don't have anything at the top of the tent for that.
Yeah, I wonder how much weight does it add to put like a loop or some kind of, I love the gear lofts, man.
Well, I mean, if you just put the loop so people could add their own, it wouldn't even add an ounce. You know, if you just did little Dyneema loops, it wouldn't be anything, I don't think.
Even just a loop to hang my glasses on, you know?
Now, it does have pockets.
Okay, where's the pocket?
And I like the pockets because they're up high. So, like, you know, a lot of places they'll put the pockets in the lower end, but if it happens to be one of those really windy, rainy nights, sometimes water can splash up into your tent. Yeah. And if your pockets are down there, your stuff can get wet.
Yeah, like the duplex, it's got like a little pocket under the rainbow door. I'm like, this isn't very effective. But it looks like on this XMid Pro, it has a pocket just inside the door.
Yeah, the pockets are just inside the door, and they're up higher, so they're not, you don't have to worry about that splash if there's any. Now, you can also set this tent up super low. It's really however you want to set it up, but it's an awesome tent, man. I'm telling you.
I wonder how high the price tag becomes on these tents and stuff before people are like, yeah, I just don't. You think that the companies, it's just all in their research and development on the, you know, they're finding good price points and stuff. They're like, I know this is going to be way too expensive. For example, that Osprey backpack, remember that new one that they came out?
$700 one?
Yeah. And I was like, who's going to buy this $700 backpack? Like, that seems like a very niche, you know, it's like a Porsche or something like that. It's a very niche market that, I don't know. I feel like the barrier to entry, that's pretty high, just like on this tent. You probably backpack in a while before you're buying a $700 tent.
Well, yeah. I mean, but that's the cost of the duplex. That's the cost of all these tents like that. And why do you buy a tent like that anyways?
You want to
shed
that
lower weight. Your base weight.
Yeah, somebody commented on one of my videos the other day and was like, I don't understand. What is the big deal? Like, why are you so worried about your base weight being, you know, 12 pounds? What is, it's not a backbreaker for it to be 15 or 20 pounds. And I was like, this person, I just don't think has a whole lot of experience, because there's such a massive difference on your body. If you have a 2,000 foot climb in like 3 miles and your backpack is 10 pounds versus 20 pounds, I mean, yeah. It's a difference in daylight and dark, dude.
Well, I was going to say the hike I'm going on is the Trans Catalina Trail.
Oh.
And there, I think a couple of sections, it's like over 1,000 feet and less than a mile. So there's some pretty steep climbs that we're going to have to do out there. But we get to see the ocean mostly. Like a lot of, when we get up high, we'll see the ocean on either side of us because we're on an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, which is crazy. Wow. So
yeah, I'm looking at pictures of it.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, man. It's a cool hike. Hey, let me tell you about, I'll switch directions here real quick.
Yeah,
that's
go ahead,
what we
man.
Do. I didn't get to talk about this last week because you guys were talking about hiking. And I think you knew this already, but I had signed up for a 100-mile hike with Outdoor Vitals.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I started training in May, and my hike was supposed to be the first full week of July. I was going to do 3 days that week and then the whole next week. I was doing 35 miles or 30 miles on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then the next week I was going to do 5 days and finish the last 70 miles and get my 100 miles in.
Yeah.
So let me tell you what happened on this trip.
Wait, what's the parameters on how you're supposed to get the 100 miles? Isn't there like a whole Outdoor Vitals, you know, like Healthy 100 or something where you got to do it a certain way?
No, the big thing was you have to do it within a certain number of days, and you can do it as a single trip or you can break it up into multiple trips.
Okay.
So I was breaking it up into two trips for mine, and I got out the first day and I went out to the Red River Gorge.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured I found a 30 mile loop that I could do pretty easy. That not pretty easy, but I mean that I could do it.
It didn't cross that suspension bridge, did it? Did it?
Well, it can't cross a suspension bridge, but we'll get that in a second.
Okay. Okay.
So I started down in an area called Coomer Ridge. Uh-huh. And hiked up what's called the Rough Trail for a while, and then got on another trail and hiked up and ended up doing some road walking. And the moment I got on the road, a storm hit. So luckily I had my umbrella with me, and So I'm hiking with my umbrella on the road, just moseying along, having a good old time. And I get to this like parking lot area with the signs that tell you where trails are and all that kind of stuff. And so I sit down and there's a roof over the sign. So I decide, well, I'm going to set up my chair. I'm going to take off my shoes and socks, let my feet air out for a little bit, and then I'll finish the rest of my hike.
Was it still raining?
I get to the trail. What's that?
Was it still raining when you took your break?
It was just finishing up.
Okay.
It was just finishing up, so I was able to let my feet dry out a little bit, get my socks wringed out, and that kind of stuff.
Beautiful.
Also tried some new socks, but I'm not ready to talk about those yet.
Okay.
I think I might have new favorite socks, which is crazy, because I've been using the same socks for like 4 or 5 years. I get out there, and my plan was to hike about between 10 and 12 miles for the day, because I didn't get on trail until 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow.
So I was like, I'll do 10 or 12 miles. So I get out and dry my feet out, get all set up, and I start hiking. And I get on what is quite possibly the worst trail in the history of hiking.
Does this trail have a name?
Osborne something loop.
Osborne Bend Loop?
Yes. Worst trail in the history of mankind.
Wait, let me tell you
what happens.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Is this an official trail or is this unofficial?
Yes. It's an official trail.
Okay. So you went up the hill.
Yes.
At Osborne Bend. Okay. Yeah.
Which is a lot of uphill, but it was okay. Yeah. I'd been training, dude. Like, I was good. I was feeling great, actually. Feeling absolutely great. 85% of that trail was 7 to 9 inches of deep mud.
Oh, yeah. Just rain. I forgot.
Dude, I'm talking the entire trail. Just deep mud. And I'm hiking along, and there are no campsites anywhere. I'm hiking. I decide to go hike off trails and go look and see if there's a campsite at the end of this off trail. Nothing. Keep going. Finally, by the time I get to my campsite at like 8:30 at night, I've hiked 16 miles since 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's a tough day.
And dude, it was a long day. And I finally get to a campsite and kind of get the mud off my legs. You know, I got out some wissy wipes and got them all wet and cleaned my legs off because they were covered in mud. My feet, I took them out to the grass and just kind of rubbed them across the grass to get all the stuff off.
Full Hobbit and, style.
Oh, man, it was so bad. And so I go to sleep. And just before I get to the campsite, I'm hiking in this one section and I step in the mud. And I didn't know, but there was a log under the mud that was really slick. My foot slides sideways and all of my weight goes on my foot. And it hurt bad.
Oh, like, my God. Another JK really injury?
Bad. Yes. Same foot. So I decided to tough it out, obviously. I mean, I'm in the woods. It's not like I'm not going to call someone to airlift me out because my foot hurts.
Yeah.
So I end up hiking down to the Bison Way Trail and hiking out to the parking lot there. And I bailed out there because I started hiking. I was like, I'm going to do this. But my foot was not. I still had like 17 miles to go that day or something like that, because hiking those off trails looking for campsites is what made my mileage so big that day. Mm-hmm. So I had about 17 miles I was going to do that day to finish out the hike. And there was no way. It just wasn't going to happen. My foot was done. And so I hiked down the Bison Way and just kind of walked along the road. And I got down to the Glady. There's this place called the Glady Visitor Center. Do you know what I'm talking about down there?
Oh, I know it very well. It's like half mile from the Bison Way trailhead, maybe.
Yeah. So I walked down there and I'm like, they have phones and other shuttle services. I could call one of the shuttle services, have them pick me up and take me down to my car.
Sure.
Their phones had been out for 2 days.
No way.
True story, man. Their phones had been out for 2 days. So like they couldn't make a phone call. And so I saw this lady with a kid and he was older and the lady looked really nice. And so I walked up and said, "Hey, any chance you'd pick up a straggler who got injured on a trail and just take me to a parking lot to drop me off, you know?" Mm-hmm. And she goes, "Which one?" I said, "Coomer Ridge." She goes, "I don't think we're going that way." And I was like, okay, no worries. You know, I was nice about it. Let it go. So I get back out and I just start hiking on the road. Mm-hmm. And I'm hitchhiking at this point. You know, nobody's coming over. Well, sure enough, here comes that lady passing right by where I was, heading down towards where I was going. So, lady, if you're listening, which I doubt you are, but that was kind of mean. You could have really just said, no, you scare me because you smell bad and I don't know you. But here's what's fun. So I'm hiking along and I hitchhike and this red truck comes up and picks me up.
Oh, nice.
This older guy with a really thick accent and tons of Red River Gorge stickers on the back of his truck. So you know this guy loves the gorge.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And so he picks me up. He goes, what happened? I told him what happened. He goes, oh, man. Well, jump on in the back of the truck. He goes, I got a bunch of stuff up in the front seat. I can't take you the whole way, but I could take you to Hanging Rock, I think is what he said. And I'm like, I think that's what he said. Anyways, doesn't matter. He says he could take me to one spot. And I'm like, okay, great. So we ride for maybe a half a mile and he just pulls off the road. I'm like, oh no. He's going to tell me he has to go somewhere else and drop me off or whatever. He gets like, dude, I'll tell you what. Let me move all the stuff out of the front seat. Why don't you just come sit up in the front? I'll take you the whole way.
Oh, what a sweetheart.
Yes, his name's Donnie. Donnie Lawson.
Donnie Lawson. I'm saying his name out loud
because if anybody meets Donnie Lawson in the gorge, he's the greatest man alive. But yeah, we talked the whole time. He was telling me about arches. He's an arch hunter. So he goes out and looks for arches that aren't marked and aren't named. He's actually named a couple arches out in the gorge.
Wow.
And
must be a local.
So like, yeah, he is a local. Yeah, he actually has adopted part of the road that goes around the gorge. Like he goes and cleans the trash up and all that stuff himself. So rode with him and had a great conversation. And he did say something funny, though. I said, yeah, my buddy Jason Wall, he has a YouTube channel. He's out here hiking all the time. And he goes, man, those YouTubers are killing our gorge.
You didn't tell him, did you?
Did not tell him at all that I was a YouTuber. I was like, I can't do that because he's going to be like, well, I don't want to give this guy a ride. You know, so I was just polite, but super nice guy, man. Super nice guy. And so I hitchhiked out of the gorge and came home and thought I'd rest for a couple days and see how it was, because my plan was to hike the bottom 70 of the Sheltowee Trace.
Uh-huh.
No chance, man. I was limping for 3 or 4 days.
Still recovering.
So I lost my window to complete that, but still plan on doing the 100 miles, just I'm going to have to push it off until a later date. And 45 of those miles will come in September when I'm doing the Catalina Trail. So
beautiful, dude. Two things.
Yeah.
I have, I went to high school with a guy named Donnie Lawson. Don't think it's the same guy.
Guarantee it's not the same guy, unless this guy failed like 75 times or something.
Other thing, you know that trail that you're talking about, the Osborne Bend Loop or whatever?
It's the worst trail. Oh, I forgot to tell you what Donnie said about that trail.
All right, go ahead.
He goes, yeah, most people don't hike that twice.
No, definitely not.
He literally said that. He said that is the worst trail in the gorge, and I agreed with him 100%.
Well, I don't know if it's the worst trail, but where you like park and start at, there's like a kayak launch point there too, right? Like it's under the bridge.
Like yeah, the you bridge go across is right the street.
There. So yeah. there's three directions you can go from the start point. You can go right along the river, and it'll take you up to Eagle's Nest. You can go straight up the hill, which is official trail, and that's the Osborne mm-hmm. Bend. And if you follow it north and then west, you'll go to Bison Way.
Yep.
Or you can go left, and you can go to, what's the name of that waterfall there?
Oh, yeah, you can go to the Copperas Falls.
Copperas Falls, yes. So if you go straight up past the bathrooms, you just like start going uphill, and then there's literally like nothing to see. So
there's nothing to see, and it's all mud.
Well,
it and depends. There's no campsites. There's no water.
It's not always
Satan's Trail.
It's not always all mud, but there is some really muddy sections too, even if it hasn't been raining.
But that's just it. I talked to him. He said it's always muddy. He's yeah, like, and not the whole thing, like what I was experiencing.
Yeah,
but he's like, there's even like in the dead of winter, it's muddy.
Yeah, I don't get it, but I will tell you,
it's Satan's Trail.
Bridget and I, we were doing like a 3 or 4 dayer in the gorge, and you know it's all a compacted area. So, like, if you're going to do multiple days like that, then you have to be pretty creative with your routes. So, right. I had made us like a 25 to 30 mile route around the gorge. And part of it is what you walked as well. So
Satan's Trail.
It's not Satan's Trail, but
it is Satan's Trail. There has never been a more evil footpath created than that footpath.
Well, we're doing a big loop, and we started at Bison Way, which is where you came out, and we were planning on ending there and doing the loop. And so, you know, like on the last or next to last day, we actually got a ride around back to Osborne Bend, and then we're going to hike that part, that section, and camp along there somewhere, which is not a whole lot of camping. So we were starting on the loop. You know, you meander through there. There's not really any views. There's not really any water. And you get down, there's like one part where there's some pines and stuff that's really pretty, I think. But other than that, there wasn't a whole lot. And we got to one part, and I kicked there was like a little log. It looked like, I don't know, maybe about 18 inches. It looked exactly like something that you would cut for firewood, like a little 18-inch split piece of wood. I kicked it out of the way, and this is on the exact section you're talking about, and then just hornets started going everywhere. And that's where I think
those stupid hornets. They're all over the
ground. Over Kentucky. They're ground hornets, and they were
bald-faced hornets. They're called bald-faced hornets.
Bald-faced hornets. And I think I've told this story before, so I'll spare you the details, but real quick, I kicked that out of the way and then had to yell to Bridget to stop. And we both had to, like, get off trail, you know, 20 to 50 feet.
And they're mean. They'll chase you.
Yeah, I took off running, dude. As soon as I kicked that and I saw their hornets flying everywhere and Bridget was, like, 10 or 20 feet behind me, I was like, stop, stop, stop. We got to go around. So we went totally off trail to get around this giant hornet's nest. But you may be right. That may be a cursed section of trail. I don't think I saw
it. Satan's Trail.
That was also the only section that I think I saw bear activity. And that was Bridget's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Bridget's first backpacking trip. And unfortunately, she got that section of trail in on that trip. But you got to have.
That means every trail after that is great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she had already seen some highlights in the gorge. And then we were wrapping up the trip with that section of trail. What a crappy way to end the
trip. It's terrible. It is terrible. And when a guy like Donnie looks at you and goes, yeah, most people don't like that twice, that tells you all you need to know.
Well, you can see wildlife out in that section, though, because it's not as densely populated with backpackers and hikers.
Yeah, and I did. I saw some deer and some other things like that while I was out there. But here's the one thing. Here's the takeaway, though, I have from all that. It has nothing to do with the trail. I hiked 16 miles and felt fine, except I jacked my foot up. Had that mud not been there, I probably wouldn't have gotten injured. And I would have hiked 17 miles the next day and not even sweat it, dude. Like, I felt great. Like, I've been training for 2 or 3 months now, and I felt awesome. I mean, the hills still kick your butt. I mean, I'm still breathing heavy going up the hills.
Sure.
But my recovery time after the hills was fine, and I wasn't sore because of it. So.
And how long ago was this?
This was like just a few weeks ago. Like, it was before you guys got back from your trip. I didn't want to talk about it last week because we were talking about the Camino, and I didn't want last week to be about me. I wanted it to be about you guys. So I figured I would share my awesome trip with you this week.
So now you're still feeling good. You're recovered. Your foot's okay. You're able to walk around like normal and do your exercises.
Yeah. Last weekend I went out to, Lake Malone here in Kentucky. It's a state park.
Mm-hmm.
And we hiked, and my foot did not enjoy it too much, but it wasn't the same kind of pain that I was having before, but it wasn't good. But this week I did some walking and some hiking, and it feels a lot better. So I'm figuring by the time my trip rolls around September, I'm going to be good to go.
Do you ever use Epsom salt?
I do. I've actually got a foot soaker that bubbles.
Oh,
I'm like that.
That's bougie.
I'm extra, bro.
I think I have one of those foot massagers that you fill up with water and it's got the little rollers in there.
Oh, and that's even more bougie than the bubbles, man.
No, I think you can get them for $10 at like TJ Maxx or something. I think because nobody buys them.
I think I got mine at Walmart for probably like $12 or something.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever taken it out of the box. Maybe. Well,
I've used mine. I absolutely used mine. I have. Well, here's the thing. And this is like, especially when I did the Sheltowee, because in the Sheltowee, that was my first any kind of long distance hiking, and my blisters were insane. Like, my feet got destroyed. And so whenever I was home after that, like, we took a couple days break because the rain had just destroyed all of our gear. We've talked about this before on here. But for 2 days, I soaked my feet.
Oh.
Just to kind of get those blisters, like, to – I mean, my dogs were screaming, man. Like, it was bad.
Yeah, sometimes.
So I learned to soak my feet and enjoy that very much.
There were some times on the long trail where I would, like, me and our little trail family or whatever would just buy a big bag of Epsom salt. And then if we stayed at, like, a hotel that had bathtubs, you would literally just, like, you know, you'd be like, all right, I'm going to soak in my Epsom salt. And then you go in there and do it, and then you'd pass it to the next person. So you kind of, I don't know. It really helps with the recovery, just soaking your feet or soaking your body or whatever.
You're 100% right on that.
I'll tell you what I use all the time for recovery is massage gun. And
we've got one of those too.
Oh, dude, they are such a game changer. Like, you don't like
it? The only place where I got sore a couple weeks ago was in my calves. And I don't like using the massage gun on my calves. That does not feel good.
Oh, you don't like it on your calves?
I don't know why my calves doesn't feel good.
I think that
it
that
just hurts on my calves when I use it. I don't know why. But I also don't have calves. I have cows. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, you got some big old calves.
So, yeah.
Maybe it's like just super dense muscle. So your body's like,
Of course it is. It's me. All my muscle is super dense. Yeah. It's just coated in a layer of insulation. That's all.
Well, that's one of my favorite spots to use it. But I tell you, the best spot is glutes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. It'll make your legs, like, just straighten out. And you're like, ah, just like that.
I think I just found a new sound for the podcast.
put that on the soundboard.
What's going on, hikers? That's going to be, now instead.
Yeah, dude, they're clutch. Anything that helps with the recovery. The most important thing, I think.
Little massage balls, man. The ones that...
Yeah, the cork ones.
Yeah, the cork massage balls, man. Those things are incredible.
Dude,
especially on your thighs. Like,
yes.
Your quads. Man, after hiking long days, especially if you did a lot of hills, your quads are screaming. And that's I love using it on those.
It became part of my routine on the Camino was, like, when we would go to dinner. So I'd have, you have, like, clothes to hike in and clothes for, like, in the evening and stuff. So I had one pair of shorts for the evening. I called it my dinner clothes. I'm actually wearing them right now. And they have two pockets on the front and two pockets on the side and then two pockets on the back. And one of the pockets on the side was designated for my cork rolling ball. And I would stick that in my pocket, like, it would go in my fanny pack. And then after I shower and stuff, I would stick it in the shorts pocket. And then at dinner, like, while we're sitting there and ordering and waiting for the food to come and all that, I would break that sucker out and I would start just rolling away. You know, you'd roll first thing is your quads.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It feels so good. And it helps so much. And then your feet, if you can get away with that.
Yeah, I would say in the tent, put that on the floor of the tent and just put your bare foot over it and roll that thing.
Yeah, or you can, like, lay on top of it too. Like, if you want to get your glutes or your back or, you know, your hamstrings too, you can lay there and put, you know, use it as a pressure point area.
I'd put it up against a tree and roll my back using a tree.
Oh, that's smart. I didn't even think about that.
It's way easier to get up from.
Yeah, you don't have to lay on the ground and roll around.
Right. So anyway, so the big thing was, man, like, it was just awesome to be able to go out and hike 16 miles. Mm-hmm. I ended up hiking 22 total. The only soreness I had was my calves, but a lot of that was because of the mud. Anybody who's hiked up and down hills in mud, your calves just get beat up. I mean, there's just no getting around it. Like,
it's
just
a suction
what you got.
It's like the mud sucking
you in.
And
the worst part was on Friday morning, I'm hiking down, and I stepped, and my foot went completely sideways. My other foot came out from underneath me, and I went all in on the mud.
Oh, you got soaked in mud?
My hands, my whole left arm and hand, and my trekking pole handle and everything was just coated in mud. And so I got to a creek and got down and cleaned everything off as best I could. But yeah, dude, I got just covered. I mean, it was terrible. It is Satan's Trail.
Is it that clay mud? The real red, rich mud?
No, this is, you know what I think it is, honestly? What? I think it's dry fall that sits in the middle of the, because it's kind of a carved out trail.
Yeah, I thought maybe horses.
It's all that, like, it's all that dry fall. It sits there and just sits and sits and sits. And then when it rains, it just kind of decomposes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it forms like a sludge. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Like that really black, nasty sludge.
Yeah, it's like all the rotted organic materials.
And that's what it is. And it's just gross, man. It's just absolutely gross. And so, yeah, I toughed it through all that. And had I not been injured, I would have hiked 30 miles in those 2 days and wouldn't have blinked an eye, which is great news. Moving forward, I just got to keep going and training more. And hopefully September, I won't get my butt kicked.
Yeah, that'd be fun. The Trans Catalina.
Yeah.
I definitely am excited to see some footage or pictures or something from that trip. Because anytime you get out west, it's kind of like a different world than us the East Coast guys. So,
and I wouldn't even know. I've never even hiked out west, so I have no idea.
Yeah, well, the only thing I did was that Colorado trip, and I want to hit California. I want to hit Utah. I keep seeing, like, I'm watching these stupid dash cam videos.
Yeah.
And, like, the compilations on YouTube. And people be driving in Utah, and you just see the mountains in the background. And it reminds me of Colorado, but Utah is, like, totally different world. And I'm like, man, I kind of just want to take a car and just drive out there to have some adventure and let Bridget see it, too.
I want to do the Uinta Highline Trail so bad.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
That's the one I really want to do. But we'll see. That's on the bucket list. It'll happen eventually.
Well, we'll stand by for your Trans Catalina trip. I look forward to seeing it. Let's wrap this thing up.
Yeah, I look forward to doing it. So, well, Jeremiah, as always, great chatting with you, man.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. So for myself and Jeremiah, thanks for tuning in to the Backpacking Podcast. We will catch you on the next one.
Adios, folks.